is the Go Blue Crew.
Welcome into the Go Blue Crew. I'm Tyler Fenwick with Derek Devine. Derek, you just asked me if this is episode 250. Unfortunately, it is not. I went back and counted. This is episode 249. So as cool as it would have been to get like the big preseason one on 250, the stars didn't quite align the way that we thought they would, because I was pretty convinced that this was 250, but my memory was wrong. This is 249, but I think we can just basically call it 250-ish, right?
250-ish. I mean, we'll hit everybody with a nice holiday Labor Day podcast, maybe.
I like it. Well, so this is episode 250-ish of the Go Blue Crew. Thanks for joining us. Before we get into the schedule part of this, which will obviously be the meat of the show, we obviously got to talk a little bit about Jim Harbaugh's self-imposed by the athletic department or the university, three-game suspension. This is coming on the heels of, you know, a breakdown in negotiations with the NCAA, which was reportedly going to be a four-game suspension. Obviously, Michigan here is hoping that by getting out ahead of the NCAA, they can earn some goodwill, and maybe this will be it. Of course, it doesn't have to be. Who knows if it's over or not, but three games, that's the non-conference games, of course. So looks like under this, I don't even know what to call it because it's so weird. Under this structure, we'll just call it that. He's back for the first conference game against Rutgers. So thoughts on a three-game suspension?
I mean, my first thought is that why didn't we lay out this as an option when we talked about it last week? I think we were basically like, it was a couple weeks ago. I mean, we've talked about the Harbaugh suspension thing three. This would be a third different time. Could be suspended, is suspended, is not suspended. Michigan suspends him. That's four times, maybe. My thoughts are, I honestly didn't think of this route, but I feel like it's probably the direction that puts it in Michigan's hands, assures that he doesn't miss a conference game this year, and then, yeah, ultimately, you know, hopefully is enough. So the NCAA looks at it and says, hey, you know, he did three games. Michigan did the self-sanctioned thing, as you'll see schools do oftentimes in these situations. And yeah, you know, maybe we'll be able to move on from it after the season. You know, if you're looking at a glass half full type situation and approach, get it out of the way because he doesn't want to deal with it next year because he plans on coaching next year. Maybe he plans on retiring as a coach of the Michigan Wolverines. A lot of ways you can look at it, but I guess thankful as a player, coaching staff, and even fan that it's the three easiest games on the schedule, all to start the year, all at home. And really the only thing you're missing is him on the sideline on Saturday, because it does seem like he's a bit available to and able to coach on the sidelines, at least during the week leading up to the game.
Yeah, that's, I don't know if any of that has been official, but the reporting on that seems to indicate that, yeah, he's basically just not coaching during the game. Everything else seems to be on the table. So hopefully that's the case, and hopefully that's enough to sort of keep the NCAA at bay. It kind of reminds me of like when you're a kid, you really mess up, and you know your parents are about to come down with the week-long grounding, and you're like, hey, Mom, Dad, let me just go ahead and put myself in the corner for 4 days. You know? And then you're thinking, maybe they see that, and they're like, look how mature that little kid is. We won't suspend. I almost said suspend. I'm going to incorporate sports language into my parenting. You're suspended. Hey,
maybe that's the trick right there. You're suspended.
But you won't be grounded for the week. That's just what it reminds me of.
Hey, Jimmy, you ever been grounded? No, I've been suspended, though.
I've been suspended, yeah.
Oh, in school? No, by my parents.
That'll be a fun one. I hope
made up name, by the way. There. Made up name, by the way. No,
what'd you name him? Jimmy?
No, Jimmy.
Okay. We can get into the schedule now. And disclaimer right up front, Derek, I decided to take your approach and not really prepare.
This is good.
I do wonder if one of us should have been slightly prepared.
I hate to bring this up for the 10th time, but the last time you were overprepared, you, I think you got 7-5 in a season where they went 11-2 and made the college football playoff finals. Yeah. So maybe like the NCAA tournament approach, right? Maybe it's better to just not know anything, and you might actually win more money at work than if you watched every college basketball game during the season.
Okay. I mean, that seems to kind of be the case. So I hope that's how it works here.
How do we, but just before we start, how do we want to do this? Because you want to go game by game? Or do you want to lump the three games together?
I was literally about to say we should lump these three non-conference games together.
No disrespect.
No disrespect. East Carolina, UNLV, Bowling Green. East Carolina might be the toughest of the three, getting picked in the top 3-4 of the American Conference. So I don't know. Like, I don't go into that game scared necessarily. And when I said top 3 or 4, I probably should have said top 3 to 5 in the 6-ish area. But anyway, that's your opener. I mean, Michigan has looked really strong in these games. I think it's the Rutgers game on the 23rd where Michigan has traditionally, I shouldn't say traditionally, recently kind of stumbled out of the gate in Big Ten play. But I don't know, looking at those three games, I don't see one looming in there where I'm like, gosh, Michigan's, really got to pay attention to Bowling Green or something. But if I had to pick one that is technically the most challenging, I'm going to say East Carolina, but I just don't have a problem with any three of these games. Michigan's non-conference schedule has been getting a lot of talk, especially from opponents, fan bases, calling it weak, easy, cupcake. True, true, and true.
Georgia-like.
This is the era. What'd you say?
Georgia-like.
Sure. Here's all I'm going to say, though. It's the era of the four-team college football playoff, and it's just really, really difficult to slip up in a non-conference game and a conference game and still get into the playoff. And so the expanded playoff hopefully takes care of that. But like we've talked about in the last couple of weeks, there's just absolutely no incentive to go challenge yourself outside of conference play. And Michigan is obviously not doing that this year.
I mean, Michigan loses one of these first three games. You might go ahead and count them out of the top four automatically, unless they just blitz through the rest of the schedule, which is unlikely. You feel good about the first three games. You group them together because of that, but also because, we're a week away from, previewing an East Carolina matchup. So we can kind of skip over those ones. I think easy wins. I agree. I think East Carolina, first game of the season, toughest. UNLV, biasly, I'll be there, so hoping for a blowout. One of those games where you actually could go, refill your drink or, get some extra food in the third quarter type game. And then Bowling Green, I mean, what a premier matchup to showcase the new light show and the new video boards at night. Obviously, everybody's dream for the first night opponent with major changes in Michigan Stadium. Three W's in my book. If we want to start off, I think we both go 3-0 heading into the conference season.
3-0. I can find no argument against that, and I doubt anybody could. Really quick, before we get into the conference stuff, I was watching this TikTok right before we got on, and it was a Michigan fan, and she was laying out her top 10 rules of the college football season, and it wasn't specific to Michigan, but I'm curious what you think about this one. I think it was the number one rule, and it was college football is not a social event. Don't invite me over hey, I'm having a party, we're just going to come chips and dip and we'll throw a game on and talk through it. And she's like, no, college football is not a social event. I'm in the fetal position until my team plays. Otherwise I'm watching 14 hours of college football from the noon game kickoff all the way up through Pac-12 after dark. And then she said, appropriately, rest in peace, Pac-12 after dark. But I'm curious what you think about the college football not being a social event, because I'm inclined to agree with her.
Yeah, overall agree. I'd probably tier the approach, though. You know, you got the Ohio State, big rivalry games, big games, playoff games, bowl games at the top of the list. I mean, absolutely, don't even talk to me. You've got another tier of, like, would I rather watch a Michigan-Notre Dame game or a Michigan, even Michigan State game with a group of, like, friends who are cheering for both? Possibly have had some good environments, but again, it better be people who are glued to the game, not people that are talking on third and 15 when your team's down 10. And then there's the tier that I'll just skip all the way down to. It's these first three games. I'm going to watch every minute of all of them, but if there happened to be a time where, you know, someone had to be chatty or in a certain environment, I'll put a September 23rd as an example. Got a wedding that night, you know. Wedding won't start till 5, but hey, I'm planning to watch the game. It's likely to be around other people, family members. Maybe it's out and about at a restaurant. You know, I'm okay with that. But the last time Michigan played Rutgers at home, I was at a bachelor party weekend in South Bend, actually.
I think
he gave
me
some recommendations.
Yeah.
And it was one of those games where we were out to lunch, having some drinks and some food. And yeah, game wasn't going that well. And found ourselves, the whole bachelor party, most of them not interested in Michigan football, sitting around the couch waiting for Michigan to blow it early in that season. So even in a social event, I think they could tell that I was glued. I think there's one U of M grad who was also glued. Everyone else couldn't care less. And yeah, we delayed going to wherever our next stop was because we had to make sure Michigan was going to squeak it out against Rutgers. So yeah, overall, I agree with that. I like to be as unbothered as I can be.
Absolutely. Michigan starts conference play, like I said, against Rutgers. That's a home game, the last of four straight to start the season, a noon kickoff. You know, Michigan has its struggles in those Big Ten openers. I think you're thankful that it's Rutgers, a team that may have a formidable, I don't know why I even tried to say that word when I knew I was going to F it up. They'll have
the confidence.
A steady defense, I'll say that. Offense really struggled last year. Made some changes with the coaching staff on that side of the ball. We'll see what kind of dividends that pays early. I'm looking at this stat here. Rutgers is 12-22 since Greg Schiano returned in 2020. It's Rutgers, you know. I mean, your bar is not like super high already, but at the same time, like I said, that's just kind of a struggle spot for Michigan. So, considering those two things weighing against each other, how are we feeling about Rutgers?
Feels like a win. Also, feels like a game that you're, like you said, you can struggle in that opener, and I think you can struggle against teams you shouldn't struggle against. Illinois last year, Rutgers the year before, even Indiana last year, right? But yeah. You know, you're happy to see that Rutgers is on the schedule first. It's a home game. Greg Schiano came back for a reason. I don't think that, you know, that record you named is a bad record, all things considered. You just don't know. You don't know that you'll ever see a route for Rutgers to, like, be a Big Ten champion. Saw something today. We'll obviously talk about Michigan, Michigan State, but a Michigan State fan kind of posted, is it more likely Michigan State makes the playoff or has a losing record or wins a bowl? I don't remember what it was, but most people were actually – or wins the Big Ten or misses a bowl game is what it was. And a lot of people were saying, hey, it might be more likely to miss a bowl game, not because they don't think Michigan State's going to be any good this year, but because it's so hard to win the Big Ten. You know, you look at Rutgers basketball, they've got a ton of high, like they got one of the best recruits in the nation. So somehow Rutgers basketball has figured it out and potentially could be a dangerous team. But Rutgers football, probably the team you would love to and would choose to circle if you could open up the conference against anybody. And so, yeah, W in the column, but I think that's when you realize you're no longer playing cupcakes. I think they're going to be tested for sure.
Next up, Nebraska. That's the first road game of the season, September 30th. There's no time on it, why do I feel like I saw a time for this game?
Yeah, I was thinking about that before. I thought that I had seen a week ago. Maybe we even talked about it last week, even if it was off air. But I thought that it was mentioned that Penn State, which is confirmed to be a noon, and Nebraska were both noon kickoffs. And I think we had kind of, you know, had the little sigh of relief of, hey, you don't have to play in Lincoln at night, another game in 2021 that Michigan struggled with. Yeah, I think we did. And then Penn State, you don't have to play at night. Yeah, we did at least a couple of weeks ago because, again, both of those are crazy environments. We talked about Nebraska having a chance to beat overhyped Colorado. But again, glad Michigan plays at home against Rutgers to start the conference season before traveling to Lincoln, Nebraska to play an unknown Nebraska team, which, you know, probably unknown every year, but especially with a, you know, a reset, a new coach and Matt Rhule, I think probably end up being better than a Scott Frost Nebraska potentially. But then again, it's Nebraska, it's the Big Ten. The Big Ten's growing. Maybe not a contender. You're really looking for those teams that can ruin the contender's chances. And this is that first game where you're really, you know, it's in that tier of like, ain't a social event, that's for sure.
No, not a social event. The thing I'm interested in with Nebraska this year, apparently Marcus Satterfield, offensive coordinator, is returning, or I should say restoring the huddle to this team. And that'll be interesting to see, because you just don't see that a lot in college football anymore. They're working with a Georgia Tech transfer quarterback, Jeff Sims. And so it's that's a running quarterback, obviously coming from that Georgia Tech team. But I'm a little intrigued. Nebraska might be one of those teams I kind of pay attention to pretty early in the season, not for the sake of getting a feel for what Michigan's going to deal with, but just because, like, that's kind of an interesting team. So I don't know. I think I've got that as a win pretty safely, assuming that game doesn't get bumped up to like 7:30 primetime or something. Even then, I mean, I'm confident it's a win, but the time will have to wait on that one apparently to come back. Next one, October 7th, another road game. This one's at Minnesota. So no time on this one. Mixed feelings. I like that this rivalry game is here. Obviously, it doesn't have to be because Minnesota's coming out of the West. But you're going on the road. You're facing Minnesota. It's a rivalry. It's October football. What are we thinking?
October football seems so crazy because it reminds you of how fast the season goes, right?
Like, I feel like we haven't been talking that long. We're in October.
You're only on your third conference game, and you're in October. And not only October, you're, you know, a week into October. I look at a game like Minnesota battling for the brown jug on the road as one of those games like we talked about with Penn State previously. Is what's the future of this matchup? How often does Michigan get to play Minnesota? When they do play, where do they play? I think that this is another road win 2 weeks in a row for Michigan, but I think it's going to be interesting this year. You know, this will be the last year of the Big Ten as we've known it for, you know, most of our lifetime for sure. And there's been changes obviously with Nebraska and Rutgers in our lifetime. But you know, another interesting one. And I think that all of these games, and I don't know if, you know, teams, coaches feed off that as well, but this is another one of those games where you're not a contender, but you're trying to knock off a contender. And so I really do truly think when you're the, you know, a second ranked team in the nation, whether it's coaches, whether it's AP, whether it's eventually the college football playoff ranking, by the time you get to that week, you know, this is I don't think that there's going to be necessarily an easy matchup. But if Michigan's truly the team that they're poised to be this year, then I think that, you know, they can run away from just about all of these games we've talked about so far. But yeah, I mean, back-to-back road games in the Big Ten, always a challenge. It's not like these are pushover games. And I think both of these atmospheres, respectable atmospheres, especially with the changes and the upgrade that Minnesota's seen in the last couple of years. So it'll be interesting to see.
I've got this as a win. this will be the first time in what feels like a decade that you'll watch Minnesota football and there won't be Muhammad Ibrahim running the football. Tanner Morgan isn't there anymore. He was a sixth year senior.
Yeah, that's actually crazy. Right.
So,
I mean, guys that have been around, what, longer than PJ Fleck's been around?
Basically, yeah. So it'll be a new look Minnesota team. You won't see the usual suspects out there. Week after that, coming back home against Indiana, one of the lowly teams in the Big Ten. Who knows what things are looking like in Bloomington at that point. Tom Allen's 2020 magic seems to have subdued itself, and it's not really there anymore. So I've got this as a pretty easy win, maybe the easiest game of the conference schedule. I've seen some people like predict Indiana to zero Big Ten wins. Now, Indiana, I feel for them. They're playing in one of the toughest divisions in college football, maybe the toughest this season, and they're just not very good. You know, what's going to happen to that program? No time on this one yet, but this almost feels like maybe a noon or 3:30 Peacock game, huh?
Yeah, and for me, it's going to be a divine guy family reunion game. Got like 13 group tickets to it, so hoping for a freaking shutout. the hype around a team that could be a Big Ten win this team at that point. Obviously, not ideal for the fan experience. But no, I mean, Indiana, caps off. They had an incredible 2020 and got a lot of people talking, just haven't found a way to follow up on it. And, last year gave Michigan everything they could. And that's a team. And we've talked about this so many times previewing Indiana. It's a team that has just given Michigan trouble, year after year after year, it seems. And even in the years where it's not as close, they still seem to find a way to limit Michigan's, potent offense in years where the offense can score 50 against anybody. And so, gotta like Indiana at home anytime you face them. But again, I still don't see an L on the schedule.
Going on the next week, then the first like really big game of the year is October 21st at Michigan State. No time on that one. We know the Spartans weren't able to build off of a really good 2021 season, really fell off last year, 5-7, won 3 games in the Big Ten. And I don't know, Mel Tucker is so hard to pin down. I don't know if he's got a good program or not. Was it really just the perfect storm of transfers coming in for him and finishing 11-2 in 2021, that top 10 finish, like really, really good season, played an excellent game against Michigan. But what do you think of 2023? And is this a team that is able to come back and compete? I mean, Peyton Thorne, not there anymore. Keon Coleman, not there anymore. That's a huge knock to an offense that was already really struggling. So I've got this as a win. But there's always a caveat that Michigan State normally finds a way to play Michigan pretty tough.
And madder than ever, probably. Especially after the tunnel stuff and a lot of that heat went to Michigan State. It feels like it could be a game like a 2021 matchup, but they don't have a Kenneth Walker and they don't have the Mel Tucker hype. So, it's likely to be a game that favors Michigan even on the road. Even if it's more like the Jabril Peppers take back the 2-point conversion game or they end up winning by like 9 or 11 or the Shea Patterson and Donovan Peoples-Jones game where they win by a couple of touchdowns, whatever it was. Like, it's going to be a game that is probably closer than it should be and almost like clockwork. Michigan State's going to score first. I mean, it seems to always be the case when you
that's a no-doubter, yeah.
This matchup. I think of years of like a Brian Lewerke or, just guys like celebrating early. Celebrating early touchdowns, like, oh no, is it really going to be like one of those games that they lose to a not as good Michigan State team? But we'll see. We're already, nearing the end of October, and Michigan has a bye after this week. And so, you've got more games behind you than you do ahead of you at this point. And so what Michigan State will be by October 21st is to be determined. But the one thing I'll say with Mel Tucker is saw kind of a quote of him not complaining, but just kind of saying the reality of NIL and that Michigan State's not doing enough. You don't usually hear coaches of teams talking about that as they, you know, go into the season as a favorite and have high expectations for themselves. It feels like almost that pre-excuse to like, well, of course we're not going to win the Big Ten this year. Now they can, you know, win three games and still give Michigan their best shot and even have a chance to win. But yeah, again, as I said, after Indiana, no losses for me so far. I think Michigan heads into the bye week and in November as an undefeated team. And, you know, unless a Georgia or someone slips up or another team plays really dominantly, you know, probably a top two team in the nation.
I'm with you. All wins going into November. That first game in November is against another new look Big Ten team in Purdue. There's a new coach, Ryan Walters, and a new quarterback, Hudson Card. Probably not a Big Ten West contender again. But, you know, I don't know. For the sake of like just talking about things, I almost feel like we have to say, but, you know, there's a chance. Like, it just feels sort of disrespectful and like you don't want to jinx it. But this feels like, you know, the last kind of gimme on the schedule until you get into a couple of top 10 matchups and then those sandwich a road game to Maryland. But I've got that as a win versus Purdue.
Yeah, same here. I mean, new coach, some new opportunities, and, you know, plenty of players who had a taste of success in the Big Ten championship. But I just don't know that they, you know, losing Aiden O'Connell, you know, one of the better quarterbacks Purdue has had. It's just hard to see where they go next. That guy was so reliable and, you know, just had some playmakers. But at the end of the day, it's another team in the West, a team that's up and down. They'll have a good season. They'll have a down season. They'll beat a good team in a season that they're not that great, but usually they find a way to do that when they're at home. You know, they travel to Ann Arbor. It's early November. It's getting cold and it's getting real. And so, you know, I think Michigan goes into that game as a top two team. And I think they, you know, come out of that game with the same status.
Okay. Then we get into a road game against Penn State. Like you said, a noon game, Fox big noon kickoff. Thank God it's not at night. Don't have to worry about that environment. But a lot of people are really high on Penn State. And it's a team that has been a popular pick before. So I understand where people are thinking, like, this Penn State's year to challenge Michigan, Ohio State. And I also understand the people who are like, yeah, I don't know. We've done this dance before. I'm excited to see Drew Aller at quarterback. Get him a full season. He's got some really good running backs with him who will take some of the pressure off. Do you think this is a year for Penn State to like do something significant and like knock off, you know, Michigan or Ohio State, contend for the East? Or are we looking at, they could be a really good team in the Big Ten East and still finish third?
I think this is where my bold predictions start.
Okay.
I don't think it's unreasonable to consider Penn State the second best team in the Big Ten. And that feels like it's saying a lot, but what you know is that at least Drew Aller, you know, puts himself in a position as the runaway starter this year. Whereas Ohio State at this point, you know, late August still hasn't named theirs. And so does Penn State have a Marvin Harrison? No, but they've got a dynamic backfield. They've got a tremendous offensive line, and they've got a great defense, including a couple of players, one on the line and one in the DB position that are easily all Big Ten players, if not, you know, potential All-Americans, at least a second team. And so this is a team that is loaded with talent. Where you start to wonder about Penn State is consistency and coaching. You look at a game, the Penn State-Michigan game from 2 years ago, the last time that Michigan traveled to Penn State, also wasn't a night game, was it, now that I think about it? You know, the Eric Aull game, who's now an Iowa Hawkeye. You know, they made some boneheaded decisions, like trying to fake a field goal or, you know, whatever it was. Like,
yeah,
there were a lot of questionable coaching decisions, lack of execution. So it's, you know, beyond talent, it's can they put it together? But I wouldn't be surprised heading into this point of the season if it's a three-way race for the Big Ten East. It should be a three-way race for the Big Ten East. And I think that this game, obviously pretty monumental to who represents the East in the Big Ten Championship. So until shown otherwise, you know, from now until November 11th, you know, another scheduling joke. We're already through November almost, it feels like. You know, two games to go on the schedule after this one. But, yeah, we'll see. And it'll be interesting to circle back on this. And I hope I do get called out because maybe Penn State's lost two games at this point. But I wouldn't be surprised to see them as a contender all the way through November 11th because I do think they have a good enough running back and offensive line that the running game takes pressure off of a young stud at quarterback, and the line will definitely protect him. And so if he's as good as advertised, this could be a really dangerous team.
Are you taking a win there?
Taking a Michigan win still, but I think that it might be – Ohio State will always be the toughest game on the schedule, but this is as close as a second as I think you'll see.
All right, two more left here. At Maryland, last road game of the season – Tulia Tagovailoa returning for his ninth collegiate football season.
Yeah, he's turned into the Tanner Morgan, isn't he?
Only slightly exaggerating.
And he transferred.
Look,
it's crazy.
I'm thinking of like one of my favorite Big Ten players because he is. I think I've called him a hothead before, which might be too insulting.
That's the first thing that came to my mind, and it must have came from you.
But what I'm thinking is, like, he plays with this heart on his sleeve. You know, that's the cliche you would hear. And it's really entertaining. I like it. That's a road game. Maryland sort of one of the first backseat teams, I would say, in the Big Ten East. Like, once you get through those top three, Maryland seems to be a pretty popular pick to fill in that number four spot. So I'm not going to call it a gimme, especially when you think about the emotional highs and lows of going to Penn State and then you've got one game left before you play Ohio State. I'm still going to take this as a win because I think it would be dumb not to, but I think this is pretty far from a gimme.
Yeah, this is the game where I'm planning to be the most uncomfortable. It feels like a game that could be the Illinois game of last year.
I was just thinking that, yeah.
Just got to find a way to win. And a guy like Tulia, too, when you have been around for a long time and you've been waiting for that breakout year, that breakout performance, I don't know if they're home to end the year as well or if this is the last home game, you know, senior day for him. We'd have to check on that as the time gets closer. But I don't care if they've dropped five games at this point. If he's healthy and he's you know, more of a cool, calm, collective quarterback than a hothead in this game. I mean, it's not like that guy doesn't have the talent to make a name for himself, at least as a really solid backup quarterback. You know, with Maryland, he's had great receivers. He's had a couple of solid running backs. You could probably blame the, you know, maybe a little bit of coaching and offensive line protection. You know, when he was uncomfortable and became the hothead that kind of maybe had us starting this conversation about him, you know, whether last season or 2 years ago, it's because he wasn't protected. You know, Michigan's backfield, you know, or Michigan's defensive line was in the back, just making him really, really uncomfortable, forcing him into mistakes. But if you give this guy time to throw, time to make a play, he often makes the right throw. And, you know, a little bit of his brother being there helped, but he was still recruited to Alabama. Like Nick Saban took a chance, you know, thinking that, okay, he could kind of be the next Tua, you know, being his brother and bring something to this Alabama football team. But yeah, he followed Mike Locksley. Now Josh Gattis is there. A lot of you know, decent implications of this game, but at the end of the day, it's the trap game. It's the game we'll feel the most uncomfortable, but I do think Michigan's a good team this year, and I think that they'll leave this game without an L as well, meaning they'll be undefeated going into that big finale of the game.
Absolutely. I'm with you. So then we get to Ohio State, the finale, another noon game on Fox. Ryan Day doesn't have his quarterback yet. It'll be Kyle McCord or Devin Brown. I expect the defense to be better, but I mean, how much of this is mental? You know, how much of this is Ohio State taking the spot Michigan was in for almost a decade, where it almost didn't seem to matter, like, how good Michigan was, or, you know, if there was any particular strength on that team. You'd be like, oh, well, I think Michigan can compete in the trenches this year. It's like, no, they can't. It's just not going to happen. I don't think Ohio State is there, and they may not even be close, but I think it's starting to feel like that, where it's almost as much of a mental hurdle for that program as it is, you know, anything to do with skill or talent. Now, speaking of skill and talent, they've got maybe the Heisman favorite, or one of them, I should say. I won't call him the Heisman favorite. I think at this point, you know, he'll be, I would be shocked if he's not making that trip to New York. But Marvin Harrison Jr., just a total stud at wideout. I mean, it's going to be a great team. And if they're not, I think that'd be surprising, regardless of wherever the quarterback situation is right now. But how are we feeling about this one?
So I think, you know, the mental aspect alone is what kind of made me start thinking of, you know, is Penn State a tougher matchup because of the talent they also have and the fact that it's a road game and the team that obviously in the mix, but not going to be talked about like this Michigan-Ohio State game. One, it's the biggest rivalry in all of college sports. Some would say all of sports. Two, it's a game where Michigan has a chance to win three in a row for the first time since, you know, before my lifetime. You might have to fact check me on that. I don't actually know, but that's okay. What it seems like, because there's been years and years and years where Michigan's, you know, seemingly either had no chance or just lost even when they did, in a double overtime JT with short style. The quarterback will be figured out. I'd rather see Ohio State undefeated. I'd love a 1-2 matchup, a 2-3 matchup, a matchup where not only is everything on the line for one team, but for both teams. But I don't think it's, again, I'll use the word unreasonable. I don't think it's unreasonable to think that Ohio State could have a loss at this point. And I think likely, more likely to have a loss than Michigan. You could lose to a Penn State. You could lose to a Notre Dame who, you know, could get a really big win in 2023.
What a fun matchup. Kind of early in the football season.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
Going to South Bend. That's going to be maybe a top 15 game.
And a notable alumni coaching the opposing team too, right? Like, it's not like,
yeah,
it's not like they needed that storyline when they might not quite have the quarterback situation figured out.
And I'm
maybe
so excited
a few
for that.
More question marks than they have had previously. Now, that's a game you can lose, run the table, and even beat a Michigan and make the college football playoff. They lost to Michigan late in the season and made the college football playoff. And damn near beat Georgia. So, you know, it's more likely, as you've alluded to, you know, they're not very far away from being the Michigan of the last decade, but it's more likely that they'll be good than bad. I just think, you know, for the first time in what feels like forever, I really have maybe way too much confidence going into this game, maybe just because of the mental aspect and the quarterback aspect. They can prove me wrong, and I think that, you know, you could figure out a quarterback situation. You have the best wide receiver core in college football and the best wide receiver in college football by a mile. Any quarterback should be able to throw to a wide-open Marvin Harrison. Basically going to be like a Tyreek Hill in the NCAA. But I'll end with this, too. You know, other than the fact that I am picking a Michigan win, and I don't think I've done that in the last 2 years.
No,
I definitely don't think I picked them on the road, even though I thought that Michigan had the chance to do it under a what we believe to be a J.J. McCarthy-led team. So I got a win, and I'll say this about Marvin Harrison. You remember one of the Bosa brothers back in the day. I don't remember if it was Joey or Nick. But Marvin Harrison is, you know, semi-bad injury away from, you know, maybe thinking about the millions of dollars he's going to make as wide receiver one in the NFL. And so depending on how the season goes, if they lose to Notre Dame, if they lose to a Penn State, you might not have a Marvin Harrison. You know, he got banged up in that game, and a lot of Ohio State fans say, you know, they're only a few plays away. If Marvin Harrison would have been healthy, if Stover would have stayed out there, you know, you name it. But, you know, Marvin Harrison, best player in college football, I think he's deserved that title. But when you're the best player in college football and every single team in the NFL wants you, you've got a lot on the line, especially with the NFL, you know, Hall of Fame father. So I'll be curious to see what kind of year he has. It's the weird occasion where I don't like Ohio State at all, but you just can't, like, wide receivers for me, a good wide receiver has always been one of my favorite things to see. And you kind of, you know, have to drool when you watch a guy just do whatever he wants and get the ball and score as many touchdowns as he has. So great player. You know, wish Michigan had that receiver on their team. Maybe they will this year somehow.
Maybe they do. And it just showed up yet. Yeah.
But that's, you know, Heisman favorite, Heisman likely. Ohio State could still have two losses, and I still think he's in New York, to be honest with you.
Oh yeah. I'm gonna marvel at him for 11 weeks, for 11 games, and then be like, oh my god, what's that guy doing?
This guy sucks.
So we both got 12-0, huh?
12-0, and that's, it feels biased, right? But totally. I do think if there's a year to let our bias get in the way, which I actually don't think it honestly has for me at least, it's well deserved. You don't go in as a, you know, fair, solid number two in the country, and then say, hey, they could go undefeated and be like, oh, you're BS and there's no way. That's how I feel. And if you want to take it a step further, I think they make obviously the college football playoff. I think Michigan wins a semifinal game, but if it ends up being a matchup in the national championship against Georgia, even though they got the beat Georgia drill, I think that's just too big of a hill.
It's one thing to have the drill.
Right. I think it might be too big of a hill to climb. And so I'm not going to predict a perfect season, you know, all the way through the national championship. But what I'm willing to predict is another semifinal visit 3 years in a row. And maybe actually get one. And, you know, national championship aside, that'd be an accomplishment. I mean, it's been an accomplishment for Michigan to make the college football playoff, especially after the 2020 season and the ups and downs that Jim Harbaugh has brought since being the coach. So, yeah, I got an undefeated regular season again.
Me too. And I am not nervous at all about both of us picking 12-0. Not one.
I mean, it's not like our picks, you know.
I know it doesn't weigh on the universe.
Is J.J. McCarthy listening to this instead of meditating, and he's just going to get super
maybe,
psyched out?
Maybe this is what he meditates too.
Hey, you know what? What if there's like, you know, like, you know, you got the big noon, and they're just like panning in, and like somehow they like get behind him, and it's just like, go Blue Crew. I take all the credit in the world.
They get a sound bite. Welcome to the Go Blue Crew. I'm like, what the hell? So next week, Derek, we'll come back here, and we'll break down what I again said I think is Michigan's toughest non-conference game against East Carolina. Reminder, that one's on Peacock. I don't know how you could forget that once you heard it once, but noon kickoff on Peacock, September 2nd. So we'll get back and talk about that one. Until then, Derek and everybody else, enjoy week zero. Don't forget about Jacksonville State against UTEP. Gamecocks playing in their first FBS game. Coach Rich Rodriguez trying to marshal in more success there at that program. We are really excited for Jacksonville State football. Also, don't forget about Notre Dame Navy over in Dublin. So enjoy week zero. We'll get back and really get into East Carolina. Until then, take care and go blue.
Go blue.